EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Murray 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. See, I passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. I hope your week has been good to you. I'm Nick Hunter and you're listening to the UFO Chronicles podcast. Starting off tonight with Oscar in Texas. And one night, not too long ago, Oscar received a call from his wife, telling him that a strange figure had been picked up on the baby monitor, standing over his sleeping child. Then we make our way to Washington State to hear from Ray about his multiple UFO sightings over the last 20 years. From odd lights that move to fully structured crafts. Oscar is up next. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Hello, Oscar. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Nick.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from Texas.
Yes, from El Paso, Texas.
El Paso, great. Okay. Now, Oscar, you had a strange experience a few nights ago. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yes, of course. So, yeah, this unfolded just a few nights ago. I'm going to start with a little bit about myself. I have always believed in the paranormal, you know, like supernatural occurrences, UFOs, aliens, even cryptids. I firmly believe that all these entities exist, but I have longed to encounter something firsthand. You know, besides the occasional shadow glimpse from the corner of my eye, I have yet to experience anything significant enough, you know, to share a story on the podcast. But a few nights ago, something interesting happened. To provide some context, my dad is busy constructing a fireplace in my living room at my house. And my cousin's husband was adding more pot lights to our ceiling, right? So on that particular Saturday, my entire family was present at my house, including, you know, my aunt, uncle, cousin, her husband, my parents, my wife, and my kids. I have an 8-year-old and a 3-month-old baby. Meanwhile, I was at work this time. I wasn't at home. I work the night shift, so I typically take my lunch break around 9 p.m. and then again at 2 o'clock in the morning. So during my second break, I managed to get my phone and notice a message from my wife. And she told me, call me when you're out to lunch. And I was like, okay, well, it kind of sounded weird because she's never awake at that time. But then again, it was a weekend. So I called her and she answered sounding a bit nervous. She mentioned she would pass the phone to my mom, and she was the one who witnessed it. And I was kind of surprised. Like, I was like, what do you mean? Like, what did you see? What are you talking about? So then my mom explained that everyone was busy in the living room doing their thing. My dad by the fireplace, my cousin's husband with the lights and everything. My baby, the baby was asleep in my room with the door shut and lights off. This happened around 12:50 a.m. So they had the baby monitor in the kitchen to keep an eye on the baby if he woke up. The baby was in a bassinet beside my bed, you know. So he wasn't at the bed. He was like in a little bassinet. So my mom decided to shake the baby through the monitor while standing in the kitchen, which is only about 8 steps away from my bedroom door. So she noticed that the camera in the room was not positioned correctly to capture the baby. So she entered the room to fix it. After fixing it and returning to the kitchen, she then again checked the monitor again. And this was like a few seconds later, she went to the monitor again. And to her surprise, she described seeing a small figure resembling a little boy. Not taller than 3 feet, because again, the bassinet is not too high. The figure, she said the figure had two little hands gripping the bassinet's edge and a small head peeking up to look at the baby. So initially, she was the only one observing the monitor, like while the others were busy with their things. She mentioned that the little head will hit under the bassinet, leaving its hands visible, and then peek out to see the baby again. This happened 3 times before she snapped out of it, like of the shock. So she called my cousin's husband multiple times, alerting him to grab the baby because something was with him on the room. So he then went and grabbed my mom because she was almost fainting, like pale white. So he guided her to sit down, and upon touching her, he said he experienced like an intense sensation, like goosebumps, like never before. Everyone, including my dad, turned their attention to the commotion, you know, because seeing my mom's reaction. My cousin's husband glanced at the camera but saw nothing unusual, but he still was too frightened to open the door, you know. So even though he was like standing in front of it, witnessing my mom's reaction, my wife burst into tears after hearing the detailed account, like, of what she had witnessed, you know. So after they opened the door, there was nothing inside. The baby was still asleep. That's when I started asking my mom, like, I'm here on the phone at work at lunch. She's telling me all these details through the phone. And that's when I started asking my mom questions about, like, so what did you see? Like, did you see a shadow, a ghost? Can you describe it to me in detail? So she proceeded to explain that she has seen a small head peeking behind the bassinet's edge with hands grasping it, that the skin appeared gray and it was hairless. Since it was viewed like in red, skin would appear like grayish, almost white, you know? She mentioned it had two large black eyes, and she even noticed it blink. And when she first described the figure, it seemed like a shadow with a grayish complexion, no clothes, hairless. And what took my wife back, like, she described the little figure as a burned victim, you know? When I heard that in my mind, it raced to dark places, you know, like, is this a demon? Like, what do you mean that it was burned? Really strange. And when I was hearing this on the phone, more than scared, I was pissed. I was mad because I was, why is this creature eyeing my baby, you know? Like, when I'm not there in the house, like, why target my baby? What do you want from the baby, you know? And I wasn't able to shake it off, you know, the details my mom described. I even told this story to a coworker during lunch, and contemplating if I wanted to leave early from work. And this was already like three in the morning. I got out at 5:30 a.m. Yeah, my wife was really frightened. She didn't want to sleep in the room. She didn't want to put the baby back in the bassinet. And as the night progressed, I couldn't shake up like the unease, you know. So I told my coworker I was going to leave early, and I even mentioned it. I even said, imagine if something happens in my way home while driving. Well, little did I know when I left work and I was driving in the highway, it was like, what, 4 in the morning, I think. And a coyote like ran in front of my car, like out of nowhere, and I was driving like 75 miles per hour, and I was like, I nearly like avoided hitting it, you know. It took me by surprise. Even if it was just a coincidence, it really got me wondering, you know, could all this be like linked somehow? So when I arrived home from work, you know, I woke up my mom, who was with my wife and the baby in the bed. They were sleeping in the same bed. So I woke her up, and I started, in a way, interviewing her again, like with more details. Did you notice any fingers? She mentioned she didn't see any specific details on the hands, except that they were there, you know, holding the bassinet. And once again, she struggled to articulate the appearance of the entity. It seemed like she couldn't quite find the right words and mention. It might not be like not burned, but more like wrinkled. And you know, the camera quality wasn't the best, possibly a little bit grainy, but she insisted that it resembled to ET, like the extraterrestrial, like with the wrinkles. So I asked her if she noticed a mouth or nose, to which she replied like she hadn't initially. She could only see the head, eyes, and eventually caught a glimpse of a skinny long neck when the entity like picked at the baby for the third time. So I inquired about the eyes, asking if they appeared like elongated, you know, like they. She responded that they were round. I really had something in mind, you know. I didn't think this was something demonic, but I thought this might be a gray, you know, because what you're describing to me, it's a gray, like plain and simple. Little small figure, kind of grayish, big black eyes, no mouth and no nose. So, I mean, they do have some, they're really small, like really small mouth and nose. So it makes sense that she didn't notice it on the camera, you know? So, yeah, that's what happened. I suggested my wife that we won't be putting the baby to sleep in the bassinet. We will put the baby in the middle of us, on our bed. And while I'm at work, I mean, to have our dog stay in the room with her to help her feel more, you know, at ease, comfortable. My mom even had nightmares recently. She's still, you know, shaken up by the situation. She mentioned that the creature itself didn't scare her. It was more like shock and concern because the baby was in the room, you know. Nothing like this has ever happened to us, you know. It's unlike anything we've ever encountered before. As a family, mom has witnessed paranormal occurrences, like ghosts, shadows in the past. Like one incident where she was at my grandma's house and my grandpa was outside working in his truck during broad daylight. Using the outside camera app on her phone, my mom noticed a shadow crouching behind my grandpa. But her reaction to that event was not as intense as the recent one. Like even when she saw ghosts at my grandma's house, nothing like this. So I don't know. I like to believe that this was indeed a grave. So maybe it's nothing bad. I told my wife that things would have been quite different, you know, if my mom had seen claws or teeth or red eyes or horns. You know, yeah, we concluded that it might be a gray. Perhaps this baby is unique in some manner. I don't know. It reminds me of the stories where people claim they were visited by a extraterrestrial being since childhood, like I heard on your podcast before. But yeah, I just wanted to tell this story. You know, I've been listening to your show for years now, I think. And yeah, I wanted to express my gratitude for the input you have. And I tune in weekly to hear all these wonderful stories, Nick.
Wonderful, Oscar. Jeez, that must have been quite scary for your mother.
Yes. Yes, yes, she was.
It's always concerning, especially when there's a child involved.
Yes, of course. Yeah, she was really scared. And, you know, all my family was there. And, they saw her reaction, so that's what scared my family as well. That's what I think it is. I think it's a gray for sure, because if you're describing to me a cat, I'm not going to say it's a dog, you know? She's describing to me a gray. So that's what she saw.
And when she said it resembled a Burns victim, was that because of the no hair, didn't see any scarring or anything like that?
So I don't know if it's because she didn't quite find the word at first, because when that happened on that night, she described it as burn. So that's why my wife burst into tears, because she was like, "Whoa, what's on this house? You know, a demon or you know?" And but then when I started to, you know, question her more, And she started to say, oh, well, it was like burn, but then again, it was like wrinkle, like one of those two. And the next day, it was Easter, the next day, we were at my aunt's house, and I Googled a picture of a gray, and I showed it to her, and she almost had a nervous breakdown again. She was like, yeah, that's what I saw. That's exactly what I saw. And I can see how she could have mistaken that for like a burn skin, you know what I mean? They're like wrinkled in a way. And then I get the grainy camera wasn't too much help, you know?
Right. Okay. You actually managed to pick something up on the monitor?
No, not on the monitor, because it doesn't record. It's just like a simple monitor. I mean, just to check on the baby. So it didn't record. But the Google picture that I showed her of a gray, that's where she was like, yeah, that's what I saw. That resembles what I saw. But yeah, no, we weren't court. It doesn't record, so we didn't cut any. It would have been amazing, you know.
Yeah, it's always the way.
Yeah, it's always when you least expect it. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You said your mother went into the room because the camera was in the wrong position, so it was like it had been moved.
No, at first my wife put the camera in, but it was like on top of some blankets, you know, to be able to see the baby. So I guess it moved, you know, because of the blanket. Yeah, like it moved because of the blanket. So that's why she went inside the room to fix it and, you know, put it at a better angle. And that's why she went into the room. And then when she got out, a few seconds passed, she saw the camera again, and that's when she saw it.
Okay. And Oscar, how long have you lived in that property?
Actually, around, it's going to be maybe 4 years. It's a new area. That the house was new. But yeah, the house is new. We've been here for almost like 4 years. We've never had any ghost experiences or like this place is haunted, nothing like that. And I even went as far, when I got home that night, I even went as far as to like check the window. Nothing unusual. There were no footprints. Well, we have carpet, so there were no footprints. And I even went as far as to smell the part where my mom saw the little hand. Nothing unusual.
Been there about 4 years, never had anything happen before.
No. No, nothing like that. I mean, you know, the usual shadow, but I mean, then again, those are kind of like, maybe you're even imagining, you know.
Yeah, I'd probably keep the cameras pointing for now, you know, when your baby goes back into their own bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to, you know, maybe put a camera here, one that records, and put like a decoy on the bassinet to see what kind of, if I even capture something, you know.
Yeah, because you can get those ones where they you can have the app on your phone, so you can mm-hmm. keep a watch just in case. It could just be a one-off, but yeah, I definitely keep us updated if anything does happen again.
Yeah, for sure. And it's creepy. It's something, if it's a gray, if it's something of that sort, it's something that can just come in here uninvited whenever they want. You know, there's dimensional being, so they don't have to open windows, they don't have to open doors. So that's what's creepy to me, you know.
Yeah, of course. And your partner and your mother must have been quite scared.
Yes.
Good stuff, Oscar.
Yeah, and I mean, if something happens, for sure I will be coming back with the update. Hopefully I can record something. But yeah, for sure. Thank you, Nick. Thank you for allowing me to share my story.
You're more than welcome, Oscar. And I'm glad you're a listener of the show for quite a while now.
Yeah, actually, yeah, for quite a while, I think years. Yeah, your show, it's one of the best ones out there. Not like this one, you know, because you always hear another podcast and there's, you know, a lot of conversation and then they go off topic and yeah, nothing like yours. Yours is my main one. Yeah, and I follow like cryptid pages on Facebook, and people are always asking what are good podcasts that I can hear, you know? And I always tell you on Facebook, I always mention your podcast to people.
Ah, that's very kind of you. Wonderful, Oscar. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and your podcast and everything that you do. Keep doing it, and I'll just wait for the next episode, and then, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Oscar. Okay, take care. Keep in contact, all right? And we will speak soon.
For sure. Thank you, Nick. Bye-bye.
Enjoy the rest of your evening now, Oscar. Bye for now.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Hello, Ray. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome, and you're calling from Washington State up in the Pacific Northwest.
That's correct.
Wonderful. Now, Ray, you have a few experiences of UFO and the paranormal to share with us today. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, I'd like to take everybody back to, I believe it was 2004 in extreme northeast Washington State. There's a little hydroelectric plant called Box Canyon Dam. Next to it is a little artificial lake with a dock right in the middle. I was about 8 years old camping with my grandma, and I was out playing on the dock looking for fish swimming around. And then I looked over towards the hydroelectric plant, and there was this, the closest I could describe it would be a crescent shaped, almost like a croissant, but without all the ridges of the layering. And it was just hovering there. It was silver and no noise whatsoever. About 2 minutes later, some other people saw it, kind of pointed at it, and then it just zipped off. It was like nothing I had ever seen up to that point. And I kind of was flabbergasted, I guess would be the right word, at it just flying off. And then not a minute later, a pair of F-16 fighter jets with the U.S. Air Force came flying by, just probably 10 feet above the treetops, chasing after it. And the force from how fast they were going and how low they were flying had me as a child just flung off of the dock almost 5-10 feet. I was 45-55 pounds at the time, and that was kind of just the coolest thing that had ever happened to me up to that point. And about 3 hours later, the pilots that were flying those two F-16s, they didn't bring their weapon system operators with them, but the pilots themselves came, and I got to talking to them, and I was like, what were you guys doing? That was really cool. And they said that they were chasing the UFO. And that caught me off guard because I didn't even have any kind of concept of the UFO issue at that point, or that the military would have anything to do with it, especially the Air Force. I mean, I was confused, and, you know, they were dead set on it being a UFO. They were chasing it, but they had no way to catch up with it. It just way outpaced them. And they also told me that it was not the first time that this had happened in the area. And that kind of also stuck with me for the last 20 years or so. I would estimate the size on the craft that I saw that day at probably 25 feet across, but it was just such a surreal experience, and that's just kind of what kicked off the sightings that I've had throughout the last 20 years. The next big sighting that I had was about a year later, maybe a year and 4 months later. It was the fall of 2005, just before school was starting for the year. This would put me at about 9 years old. It was about 5:30 in the evening in a little town in eastern Washington, and it was just after the sun had gone down behind the mountains to the west, and there was five bright lights, just bright red, kind of rust-colored lights, just circling each other in the eastern sky at, I would put it probably about 40 degrees from the horizon. And they were just circling back and forth, darting between each other and just narrowly missing each other. Then they started, there was beams of electric blue light going from one of these objects to another. And eventually it looked like one made contact. One of the beams made contact with these reddish rust-colored lights. And it began to spiral almost out of control. And it looked like it went down to the ground in an uncontrolled spiral, just speeding up as it was heading towards the ground and almost like a slight smoke trail left from whatever damage had been done. And this would have happened about 12 to 15 miles away, according to my mom, who was also a witness at the time, from a different point of view. She was at work at the time and saw the same thing from a different part of the town. And it went down, and over time, I've been able to kind of calculate that it fell into what's called the Colville National Forest. And the neat thing about the Colville National Forest is that it also happens to be a U.S. Air Force survival training ground in the greater Colville National Forest area. They do regular patrols. They come into town to get supplies, you know, usually once a week, once every couple of weeks. And that was my second big one I had, just kind of outstanding to me. At that point, I was starting to learn about UFOs. I had been, you know, watching a few documentaries with my mom and my dad. It was just the coolest thing, because I knew that there was something with that just, it wasn't from the reality that I had known. And since that point, reality has always meant something different. It was profoundly changing on my point of view and my worldview for the rest of my life, at least up until this point. And then my third sighting that I'd like to talk about today is, it happened about a month ago on March 18th, 2024. I had just gotten home from work and looked up towards the moon. It was probably about a third of the way across the sky at this point. And it was 7:34 p.m. I actually recorded this on the Phenom app, which I recommend to anybody looking for an app to capture any kind of event like this. I noticed a glowing whitish, goldish colored orb hovering at about 1,000 feet in the air, noiselessly. And I grabbed my phone and opened the app, the Phenom app, and it began to slowly move towards true north as opposed to magnetic north, which is a few degrees off if you are well-versed in navigation. But it was heading towards true north. It looked to be going maybe 10, 15 miles an hour. I'm not sure what that would be in kilometers an hour for anybody out there that doesn't use the Imperial system. But it had no sound, and it just kept moving true north. I recorded it until trees obscured it from my view. I talked to the local school districts, and none of them had launched any kind of weather balloon as like a science class experiment or anything like that. And there was nothing on the ADS-B exchange or any kind of flight radar or anything like that that was registered. The next day, an acquaintance that I know that also lives in the same town that I do said that they had seen the same object at the same time from about half a mile, three quarters of a mile away from me. But they had a set of binoculars. When they looked through the binoculars at this object, it was like a silver with gold tint metallic sphere with a slight groove going across the upper third of it. I know with Arrow, their big thing is the metallic spheres that have been seen at, you know, training ranges and in combat zones across the world, as well as here in the United States. And I believe that that was a sighting of one of those. And that was just a really cool thing. And that was probably the best daytime capture that I've been able to get. And it is uploaded on the internet for those who'd like to see it. And those are three of my favorite sightings.
Good job, Ray. Okay. Of course, Washington State, it's always been a bit of a hotbed for UFO sightings.
Yes, since 1947 with Kenneth Arnold over Mount Rainier, or just east of Mount Rainier. There's always been a massive amount of UFO sightings in Washington State.
And your sightings that you had, they put you on this path of interest in the subject.
I do believe so. I've grown up in Washington State since moving up from California in the late 90s. And for the last at least 20 years, there's been sightings that I've been told about and sightings that I've had myself. None of it can be attributed to, you know, natural causes or phenomenon that I've been able to learn about, be it satellites, planes, birds, or, you know, even ball lightning.
And this interest, you've decided to make a documentary specifically on Washington State of UFO sightings.
That's correct. My main focus is going to be in the eastern and central Washington areas, because that's where I've grown up and, you know, where I've had all of my own sightings. And I'd like to be able to share not only my sightings, but everyone who lives in the area has likely seen something at one point or another, whether it's been, you know, a catastrophic change for them or just, you know, something weird that they dismiss. There is something happening, and I believe it's, you know, everybody's duty to pitch in as a human species to try and further any kind of documentary evidence that we can gather on this, or even just share some cool sightings, any video clips that, you know, you might have. That compiling it into a single unified place will help immensely, you know, with any kind of data that we can gather, learn more about the subject.
So you're looking for people to get into contact with you from those areas?
Absolutely. If you have a sighting that you'd like to talk about and you're willing to go on camera and talk about it, I can obscure your identity if that's something that you wish, if you have any kind of worry about that. That's all I care about, is finding the truth. And the truth is out there. Sorry to quote the X-Files, but it is.
That is true. Okay, how can people reach you, Ray?
The easiest way to reach me would be send an email to uapinsightpictures@protonmail.com. I'm also reachable on X, formerly Twitter, at raygun1980.
Wonderful. I will put all your links in a description for you so people can reach out. And you said you've had some paranormal experiences, Ray.
Yeah, I've had one extremely strange paranormal experience. So the day before, I was listening to your podcast about a couple weeks ago, and there was one of your guests had a experience about being forced off of the road by a military type convoy that had a flatbed 18-wheel truck. I believe it was down in Nevada or in Utah that they were talking about. And that kind of triggered a memory for me, because I had a very similar experience in Spokane County, Washington, where Fairchild Air Force Base is located. So I was driving on the highway south towards Spokane, and it was about 12:30 at night, and I'd been forced off the road. This strange object on the back of a flatbed truck that was covered in a black tarp, dozens of military vehicles, highway patrol, you name it. They forced me off into a way station for 18-wheelers and kind of blocked my view as best they could, and just drove by, didn't say a word, just kind of glared at me the whole time. And the following day, I was at my dad's house. We were working on a car together, and we had just finished up for the day, and I was standing next to this set of shelves that we had in the garage, and there was a fuel pump that would have been right about thigh height, so about 2 feet off the ground or so. And it was sitting on a shelf. My dad was on the opposite side of the garage, probably about 20 feet away. And I was standing about 2 feet in front of this shelf. The fuel pump that was on the shelf flew up completely untouched and hit me in the back of the head hard enough to where it actually slightly cut my scalp open. It was extremely scary when that happened, and I mean, I probably spent the next 2 or 3 hours in complete shock just at the nature of the event, and you know, I had no warning, and my dad just dropped everything, and you know, he wouldn't go in that garage for about 2 weeks after the event, and I couldn't go back to that house for, I want to say, almost a month, because I was just so terrified of what had happened there. I mean, it felt as though it had malicious intent. And I believe that it was connected somehow to what had driven by on that flatbed truck.
There hadn't been anything that had happened in the garage beforehand.
Never. I mean, the garage had always just been, you know, the place where we worked on a car. I mean, that had never had any kind of strange experiences out there. I mean, the closest to a strange experience out there was dropping a wrench and it not hitting the floor up to that point because the engine caught it.
Very peculiar. So you think it's connected to what was possibly on that flatbed?
I do, because it was less than 24 hours later. I would say it was 16 hours later, and there had never been any kind of paranormal activity of any sort in that house up to this point. And then I see something being transported by a military convoy in black unmarked vehicles that forced me off of the road with a large object on the back of an 18-wheeler with a flatbed that didn't match any shape of any military vehicle I was familiar with. And it was such a short amount of time afterwards that I feel in my gut that there was some kind of connection.
Okay, did you get much of a look at what was on there?
It was extremely dark. The center, probably 6 vehicles in the convoy had all of their lights off, including the 18-wheeler itself. And it was a very dark area of the road, but I do recall that there was a large, probably 35 foot long object on the back of this truck, and it went by at probably 10 to 15 miles an hour, and it almost looked as though it was rocking on the back of the truck. The closest shape I could compare it to would be like an egg in the front and just like a long curve in the middle.
And it was covered in the tarp.
Yeah, it was completely black tarp at 12:30 at night. It helps obscure what's on the truck severely.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that was Desert Highway episode 264, I think, when you mean, when down in Nevada.
Yes. Yeah, when I listened to that episode, that sparked the memory again of what had happened during that 24-hour span.
Very strange. You may have come into contact with possibly some kind of energy, maybe.
I definitely think that that's possible because, I mean, since that day, I've always kind of been able to feel if an energy is off in a situation. And it's helped me a lot make decisions throughout my life since that happened. And I believe that was August of 2016 when that happened.
Yeah, there's been quite a few reports of people being stepped off the road so these convoys can pass by. And the officers, they didn't say nothing to you. They just kind of just glared at you, did they?
That's correct. And I attempted to ask what was going on, but they just had this deadpan stare right at my car and wouldn't answer any questions. And I even reached out to the Air Force for any kind of clarification on if this was something that they were conducting, but I was never able to get any kind of answers from any Air Force representatives on what was going on.
And any idea what the nearest base would have been?
That would have been Fairchild Air Force Base in Spokane County, Washington. It's located in Airway Heights, about 20, 25 minutes outside of Spokane, Washington.
Okay, so right up there in the northeast of the state, the very top end.
Correct. And I was driving from the north towards Spokane on Highway 395, which goes all the way up to the Canadian border through Stevens County.
So through the Coville National Forest.
Yes.
Interesting. I wonder what you saw.
Me too.
Good job. What I'll do is I'll put all your details into the description so people can reach out to you. So hopefully, you know, get people in that area. And we do have our listeners in Washington State. So if you are in the Washington State and you feel like you'd like to share your account on camera for Ray, do get in contact.
I'd love to hear. Yeah, I mean, whether you're an active Air Force personnel or Joe Guy from down the street, your account is just as important to hear, no matter where you come from.
Absolutely. I also have a percentage of people that reached out to me that don't want their story shared, which is a shame because they just really want to tell me. So I'm stuck with these accounts, which I can't share with anyone, unfortunately, because whether they're still active or they're retired and maybe on disability, and they're worried if they do come out and share this.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that is just down to the stigma that's still attached to the subject, despite the hard efforts of people like Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal and Ross Coulthart, Jeremy Corbell, even Stephen Greer to James Fox. You know, there's always going to be a stigma attached to this. But the only thing that we as a community can do is work together, and just the stigma doesn't need to hold us back.
I agree. It is coming along. More people are waking up and saying to themselves, there is something in this. Definitely something in this. More people are taking note.
Yes. Right now is the best time to be learning about the phenomenon as a whole and about every aspect of it, whether it's an abduction experience or the hitchhiker effect, nuts and bolts, or, you know, even just some weird dreams that you might have had that, you know, are somehow connected to other things that may have happened to you, be it, you know, like a paranormal encounter or seeing something in the sky.
Exactly. It's all valid. It's all worth being heard. It's all worth people coming out and sharing what they've experienced. Because if they didn't, then we wouldn't learn about anything.
Yes. And I encourage everyone to just try and be a lifelong learner, because your life will be so much more fulfilling. Kind of any show that deals with like paranormal or aliens or space or, you know, something like that, you know, just for the entertainment and to pick it apart. I mean, I'm rewatching the X-Files right now with my wife ever since I heard Diana Pasulka mention that, I believe it was in the first episode of the last season, she said that one of her contacts, Tyler, said that there was a insider that was feeding the producers and the directors inside information.
Yeah, that was known about back in the 90s, that was the deal.
I just think with a modern view going back, you can obviously pick out which episodes are just the filler, but also with in light of the revelation, since, you know, David Grosh and Timothy Gallaudet and, you know, all of them have come out and started to speak, I think that you can go through and pick out the bits and pieces of information that have been confirmed in an official capacity. I mean, even Lou Elizondo, etc.
Shame that the X-Files, it was when they went on the storylines a bit too heavy. I always preferred the Monster of the Week type episodes where they were just standalones. When they started to connect things, I think it got a little bit silly after a while. I think they're doing a reboot now.
That's what I heard. I'm not going to put any faith into it until I actually see a release date.
If it's not going to be Scully and Mulder, I don't know. It probably won't be the same. But I still enjoy watching The X-Files, even after all these years.
Yeah, the entertainment factor alone is worth the watch. Even if half the episodes are complete nonsense, it's still fun to watch and fun to kind of reminisce about how the world was back then.
I remember when I was researching this, it was back in the mid-90s, and it was at the height of the X-Files, and there was just so much interest in the subject. I mean, of course there is now, but because of the X-Files, it got people interested in this type of stuff. So it was a bit of a win-win in those days.
Yeah, and I think having something like that nowadays to kind of jumpstart the new generation of people who are coming of age or about to come of age with everything that's come out, I think a new type of show in the style of The X-Files would go a long ways towards increasing support among the general public.
I agree, yeah. I could definitely get a new audience. Wonderful stuff, Ray. Okay. Ray, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Well, thank you for having me.
Wonderful stuff, Ray. Yeah, keep in contact, all right, and we will speak soon. And you enjoy the rest of your evening.
You as well. Thanks for having me, Nick.
Great stuff, Ray. Talk to you soon, Ray. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
That is all for this episode. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Oscar and Ray for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.